Joni is a lecturer in environmental politics at the ESI and has also recently become a research associate at the Institute of Cornish Studies.
Hi, hi. It's really good to be asked to be here. Thanks very much. I'm Joni Willett from the Environment and Sustainability Institute. I'm also a lecturer in the politics department as well. And a significant part of my research has been exploring the environment and Cornwall, the economy and the environment, and the governance structures that goes alongside as well. So that's what I'm going to sort of be basing this little talk about. I'm also going to be referring a little bit to this, an event that we ran that some of you, I noticed, joined us at, the Citizens Takeover of Cornwall Council a couple of weeks ago. So I'll be referring to that a little bit as well as we go through this. Okay. One of the things that I'm sure that none of us have missed over the past couple of months, most definitely, and possibly a little bit longer, is the way that devolved decision making of some form has become massively a part of the agenda ever since the Scottish referendum. Well, before the referendum actually happened, but as a part of the broader campaign. And overwhelmingly, there's become to be this feeling in mainstream political discourse that there's something about British politics that is that's a little bit over-centralised. Well, actually, it's a lot over-centralised. We're one of the most centralised states in Europe, but we kind of don't notice it because we're so familiar with it in many ways. But what the lessons from the Scottish referendum taught us is that actually, when given the chance, and this is a real chance, when given a chance to talk or to be involved and actually participate in politics, people really do want to. I mean, one of the things that I love about my discipline, right, is that everybody's got an opinion on it. Even people who, like, don't vote and don't get involved with politics, and with all due respect to people who are politicians here, people who really don't trust politicians in any way, shape or form, etc., everybody's got an opinion. But at the same time, over the past couple of years, not more than just a couple of years, over the past couple of decades, we've seen participation in formal politics drop off dramatically. So we've got all of these people who are politically engaged with the topics that are being discussed at any particular given time that aren't voting. And one of the lessons that I took away from the Citizens Takeover a couple of weeks ago, most definitely, and it was something that I had a bit of a suspicion about before, but was the fact that people do not feel that they can make a difference at all. We've already heard, Edwina and her really interesting talk. Sorry, you're here. It's looking for you and everybody else. We've already heard Edwina talking about, about governance to local areas and people becoming involved, but how even at a county council level, it's really difficult to actually make a difference. And here we're talking about people who are councillors. We're not just talking about ordinary people who are getting really, really cross because things are happening in their local area or things are not happening in their local area that they have no control over. So my argument here is that decentralised forms of decision making or decentralised forms of governance in Britain is really essential to thinking about issues of sustainability, sort of environmental, economic and social sustainability, not just in Cornwall but also in the far broader UK as well. And this is also about opportunities. Now, we're in a fantastic opportunity at this particular point in time to make these claims heard. Because people are talking on a UK-wide level, people are talking about devolution. So there's spaces of possibility. Okay, the second thing that I wanted to talk about is about being clear about what's good about Cornwall. We spend so much time, well, actually, it's the nature of the beast, isn't it? I mean, politics is about change, right? And so much about change is saying, this thing is wrong, I don't like it, I want something better. But what I want to claim is that while we're doing that, we actually forget about what's really good about a place. And I think Cornwall's a really classic example of that. We've spent the past couple of decades fighting very, very successfully indeed to say, look, we need extra stuff, we're different, and we need, you know, we need to do things a bit differently. We need Objective One funding, we need a Cornish Assembly, we need etc., etc. But what we haven't been doing yet is talking about what is really good. Now, which is really interesting, because on the one hand, various organisations within Cornwall have spent a huge amount of money and been extremely successful, I might add too, at spreading the message beyond Cornwall that Cornwall is a place with a dynamic, innovative, 21st century knowledge economy that other people should invest in because we're great. However, it'd be really interesting to do a little, you know, to do a little sort of straw poll going down the street, and just asking people whether, you know, whether this is how they think, what they think about Cornwall. You know, what is the Cornish economy like? And very often, when you have these kind of conversations with people, what they'll say is, "Yeah, it's a bit shit, really. It's a bit rubbish, really, isn't it?" you know, yeah, and we've only got tourism, and if we didn't have that, you know, we'd be, you know, we'd be in an even worse place. But the pictures that I've got here are to represent sort of global knowledge economy, world-leading things that are happening here in Cornwall and that we're not talking about. And I think we need to have a much bigger conversation about what these things are too. We need to understand ourselves. You know, when somebody says, what's world-leading and global and fantastic about Cornwall beyond the countryside, which is absolutely amazing, and I'm not disputing that in any way, shape or form, we need to be able to say, yeah, we've got, you know, we've got the wave out. This is a fantastic, sustainable technology that we are at the forefront of, and it's doing amazing things. We've got an amazing renewable energy sector more generally. You know, that there's geothermal stuff being happening as well as all of that. Things that are happening here, of course, because, you know, clearly people in the ESI are doing amazing things too. But much further beyond that as well. Our food and drink sector is well recognised to be absolutely fantastic. I have it on good authority by friends who are artists that our arts and cultural movement in Cornwall is really something special. And of course, you know, our maritime industries as well. You know, we don't actually. This is Pendennis Shipyard. I don't actually know a huge amount about them, but I do understand that they are that they're pretty well respected. We don't talk about this kind of thing very much at all, and that's something I think we need to change. We need to develop a much more sort of positive. You know, yes, we are totally amazing, although we already know that, but we need to talk about it. And the third thing that I wanted to bring up today is about building strong links with other regions. The thing that impresses me massively, and it has done ever since I started doing research on this, and that's that the issues that are being faced in Cornwall are not just being faced in Cornwall. They're also being faced in other parts of the UK, especially rural areas. They're also being faced in other parts of Europe. Also, the strategies that are being used to deal with Cornish issues are also strategies that are being used in other parts of the UK and in other parts of Europe. So we've got a much broader conversation to be having with many other people. And also we've got a lot of learning to be doing with a lot of people from outside of Cornwall. That's the one point. And the second thing is that if we can move outward in a much stronger way, then we've also got the opportunity to build collaborative links with other regions that could also push our voice much more strongly. I just want to tell you a little story. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a BBC Question Time event, and they were talking about the governance in Cornwall and all of this kind of stuff. And there were some people there who were saying that really Cornwall needed to combine with Devon and have a stronger voice. And I was trying really hard to get my hand up, but nobody was asking me the question. It was very, very sad. But what I really wanted to say is, kind of, we tried that once. You know, we tried being a combination with our neighbour, and we got sidelined and we got overlooked. But my argument there is that we weren't going in as equal partners. We were going in as a single unit that meant that we didn't get our voices heard in the way that we would have liked to. We need to operate as equal partners with other parts of Britain and the UK, and Europe, you know, beyond Cornwall. So we need to collaborate as equal partners, and then I think we've got a very real opportunity of getting our voices heard on the, you know, on the British and also on the European stage too. Thank you very much.
I'm Stephen Horscroft. I'm an Economic Development Officer with Cornwall Council. And I think the challenge for Cornwall is probably simply put moving from a situation where we're arguing for fairer funding, because, you know, if you compare us to some inner London or London boroughs where £48, £50, £60 per head worse off, to a point where we've got greater sustainability and management of our own taxation. And that's just a general point I wanted to make. I think we probably give in the region of about £2.5 billion to £3 billion a year to the Treasury. That isn't enough to self-sustain us, but we've also got to be in a position where we're growing income from those things that we're good at, which you alluded to. Food and drink, energy production and ownership, which is critical and important, new technology, that kind of thing. So it's a journey. And I think it's a journey that Cornwall Council is embarking on, starting to talk to the government about now. My own view is that devolution is a journey, it's not an event. But at the same time, austerity could mean pressure towards Devon Wall and that kind of thing in the future. And that's something that people have got to be aware of as well, in terms of the potential for combined authorities, which I think is on the agenda for the whoever wins the general election, if anybody wins.
Yeah, I think, and that last point is a really important one. I think, and something that we have to be incredibly clear on, actually, you know, about why combining hasn't worked for Cornwall in the past, and so therefore there's no real reason to imagine that it will in the future. Collaboration's great, but combining, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Thank you.
Just a quick comment for me, actually, following on from what you were both saying. It's interesting that in Brittany, there's a great deal of emphasis on environmentalism, so much so that Brittany is seen as actually being in the forefront of the green movement within a French context, if I can put it like that, and that actually is becoming part of its selling card, essentially, for Brittany itself. You know, it's been embedded within Breton culture. It's enabling Brittany to actually mobilise itself on the wider global scene by actually using environmentalism as part of its wider cultural agenda. So again, a model possibly for Cornwall.